This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
The Olympics invented a new type of basketball. You can now win a gold medal in 3-on-3 hoops. Okay, so they didn't technically invent 3-on-3. It was probably invented in like 1907 by six guys who got tired of waiting for their four friends to show up. But over the past decade, FIBA, the International Basketball Federation, has pushed to formalize 3-on-3 by building a rule book and holding competitions across the globe. I know what you're thinking. The United States should just send LeBron James, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, a dream team of 3-on-3 basketball, and coast to a gold medal. But those guys don't even want to play Olympic 5-on-5 basketball. That's partly why FIBA wanted to embrace a new version of the sport. It wants to build a game that can thrive without top NBA and WNBA talent. What will it take to win gold in 3-on-3? That's up to Kara Lawson to figure out. A former WNBA star and Olympic gold medalist, Lawson is now the women's head coach at Duke. But her first coaching job came in 2017. When she became an advisor to USA Basketball's new 3-on-3 program.
If you're doing 5-on-5, you would maybe call your college coach or call a pro coach of yours and say, hey, do you have a practice plan or a practice format and what should we work on and things like that? And there was nobody to call and ask. So you just blank canvas, which I think in some ways really helped me as a new coach.
The men's roster was full of players who had spent years participating in international 3-on-3 tournaments. The women's roster was full of extremely good WNBA players who had almost no 3-on-3 experience. The women qualified and are favored to become the first ever 3-on-3 gold medalists. The men did it and became the first U.S. hoops team ever to miss the Olympics. The idea behind bringing 3-on-3 to the Olympics was to create a new version of basketball with its own distinct identity and superstars. What will it mean for that vision if a team of 5-on-5 talent cruises to a gold medal? This is the Ringer Guide to the Summer Games. I'm your host, Roger Sherman. Today's sport of the day, 3-on-3 basketball. Olympic 3-on-3 is more or less the sport you played on your local blacktop. Half-court games, scored by ones and twos, a team needs to clear the ball outside the arc after opposing shots, and the winner is the team that scores 21 points first. The biggest difference is there's a ref involved. Apparently, call your own fouls doesn't fly at the Olympics. The IOC can't suspend the gold medal game because you keep hacking your younger brother and refusing to give him any calls until he starts crying and makes your mom come outside to tell you to stop being so mean. Not personal experience. The IOC also can't suspend Olympic basketball games because the world's best players refuse to show up. After the playoffs end, many NBA stars want to rest their bodies and raise their kids and ride banana boats and defeat intergalactic aliens in cartoon movies.
I think I'm going to play for the Toon Squad this summer instead of the Olympics. I'm going to let the ankle rest for about a month, and then I'm going to gear up with Lola, Taz, Granny, Bugs, and the rest of the crew.
So FIBA had a shrewd idea. What if it spotlighted a different version of basketball that wasn't so dependent on these players showing up? Enter 3-on-3. In 2012, FIBA held its first 3-on-3 World Cup and launched a Pro Tour. It's hoping the same thing can happen with 3-on-3 that happened with volleyball. Beach volleyball became a more popular Olympic sport than regular volleyball because the people in charge of the sport successfully commodified those cool, sexy beach vibes. FIBA is going heavily for vibes with this new game. It exclusively refers to this version of basketball as 3x3. I don't like calling it 3x3 because I've been calling it 3-on-3 my whole life, but FIBA is committed. If you don't believe me, listen to the chorus of the 3x3 anthem by former Wisconsin point guard Ray Lynn Dolly. She's also known as Ray Ray and hit the game-winning shot to send Italy's 3x3 team to the Olympics. 3x3, where we wanna be. Yeah, we're full of passion and energy. 3x3, it's on the sea. It'll make you fly like you're feeling free. FIBA is really trying to sell the street nature of 3x3. The sport's official slogan is "From the Street to the Olympics." And all the games feature a live DJ spinning tunes and streetball-style commentary. This is the official FIBA call of a game played in Hungary between teams from Serbia and the Netherlands.
Oh, Dušan, the step back? You don't know me like that? He's strapped. Oh, what a finish.
The idea is that someday fans across the world will be familiar with these 3-on-3 stars. They'll know their nicknames and their backstories and their moves. They'll be the rulers of this new basketball world that FIBA has created. But before that can happen, WNBA players are going to show up and probably win gold in a version of basketball they've never played before. Lawson is the coach of the U.S. 3-on-3 team, but she's not allowed to interact with the players during the game. Her title is coach/advisor, and she played a critical role in getting Team USA into these Olympics.
Once it was picked as an Olympic sport, we started to try, we being USA basketball, we have to qualify. How are we going to do this? Our program was, we put teams together, but we didn't have a program yet. And so how are we going to do this? And so working with a lot of people at USA Basketball, we've had to create this program and try to get results at World Cups with our junior teams, with our senior teams, and have had to build it from scratch, which is really cool to be a part of something when you build it from scratch. And now we were able to get a team qualified for the Olympics. It's so different than 5-on-5 in terms of how you qualify. And there's just so many different things in terms of the point system and all that.
That point system Kara mentioned shaped how Team USA's two very different rosters came to be. FIBA specifically requires Olympic 3-on-3 teams to include players at the top of their nation's leaderboard in points earned by competing in FIBA 3-on-3 events. LeBron had never played in one of these and never will. Robbie Hummel, a former Purdue standout who had a brief stint with the Timberwolves, had played in dozens. At the Olympic men's qualifying tournament, Team USA's roster had no full-time hoopers. Just a college basketball announcer, a social worker, a former podcast producer, and a commodities trader. But very few American women had amassed a high FIBA 3-on-3 ranking. So Team USA could quickly get some WNBA players enough points to become eligible. All four members of the team were top 10 picks in the WNBA draft. None of the players, Stephanie Dolson, Alicia Gray, Kelsey Plum, and Jackie Young, had ever played 3-on-3 competitively. But Lawson says they were fast learners.
Typically, our pros will pick it up a little bit quicker because they have more tools to be able to pick it up quicker and they understand certain concepts easier. With our junior teams, it's a lot more teaching because some of the concepts are new to them in general. Like just they haven't experienced that in basketball yet in high school.
The WNBA crew dominated. Team USA won every game at the qualifying tournament. They took down teams that had played on the 3-on-3 circuit for years. They outscored opponents by a combined total of 127-64. If they do the same thing in Tokyo, it could reshape how the Olympics think about 3-on-3.
Like we say, like you never know what's going to happen. Most of the time in like a 7-game series, I know what's going to happen. Like, I kind of know, okay? But in one game scenarios, I might not know as much. How about a one quarter scenario? how about a 10-minute game? I really don't know what's going to happen. And so I think sometimes the result shapes the narrative, or a lot of times the result shapes the narrative. So if we're lucky to win a gold medal, people will say skill is more important than continuity. If we don't win the gold medal, people will say continuity is more important than skill. The reality is that it's a 10-minute game and anything can happen.
I am thrilled that 3-on-3 basketball is in the Olympics. The game is fast-paced and exciting. Watching four WNBA stars find the best way to excel in this format is fascinating. And Dolson, Gray, Plum, and Young are stars. They're just not 3-on-3 stars. They'll go back to their WNBA teams after Tokyo and may never play 3-on-3 again. They could simultaneously prove how cool it looks when elite talent plays this new version of basketball, and how unnecessary it is to actually focus on 3-on-3 to win gold in it. If they win, it will either be the best or the worst thing that could happen to this fun, innovative basketball spinoff. I'd like to thank our associate producers, Erica Cervantes and Lonnie Rinaldo, who literally made these episodes. Additional thanks go to Ben Glicksman and Arjuna Ramgopal. I'd especially like to thank the Ringer's fact-checking team for making sure I didn't say anything wrong in these episodes. And I'd like to thank you for listening.